Hey, everybody, and welcome back. This is Amanda Moxley, and I want to welcome you back to the POP in 2015 International Interview Series. I am Amanda Moxley, and I am known as the Healthy Wealthy Biz Mentor, and I help women end their money drama. I've actually written a book called End Your Money Drama. I'm so passionate about it. Not only that, but I also help fun-loving, free-spirited women on a mission with a vision, teaching them how to create profitable, portable, and playful businesses that rock and pop. And I have gathered some of my soul sisters, successful six-figure, seven-figure friends, business friends from around the world. Today we're going to Italy. We're going to speak with Grace Kelly, which is so great, and women from Australia and Canada and the U.S. and the United Kingdom and then Europe, to let you in on exactly what we did to catapult ourselves from where you might be right now to having a profitable business and lifestyle that we used to only dream about. And we want to give you all the juice, all the goods, the bad, the ugly, you know, the heinous, what we really learn from, because we really believe that you're like, we're all in this together, you're our little sister or big sister, and we want to help you really pop your biz. So be sure to take notes and join us on the Facebook group as well, Pop Your Biz Betties, and share your ahas and your your breakthroughs, and you know, what are these juicy gems that you're getting, and what kind of action steps are you going to put into place after hearing all these interviews. So without any further ado, I will introduce our gorgeous speaker today. Now, I've known Grace Kelly for about 3 years and just really have watched her evolve and just create this gorgeous brand called City Girl. And I just, you know, just love her connection, and we've been friends. And I wanted her to come on because I really like her style, and we're completely opposite of each other. And she's just so good for you all to hear from her and to hear what she's created and how you can do the same. So I'll give you her professional bio so you can really get to hear who she is. So Grace Kelly is a success coach for women entrepreneurs. She helps women increase their confidence and their earning power to create stylish lives and businesses they love. Formerly a French teacher in London, Grace left her salary behind and started an international coaching business. After successfully growing her business at six figures in 6 months, she went on to generate almost £250,000 in revenues before the end of her second year in business. That's amazing. A widely popular blog, City Girl Confidence, was selected by Forbes as one of the top 100 best websites for women, and her expertise has been featured in the Sunday Times, Glamour Magazine, and Soul and Spirit. Offering private coaching programs and stylish business intensives in destination locations around the world, Grace's clients, who range from new business owners, coaches, and service professionals, often achieve their first $10,000 to $30,000 pounds months in business after working with her. However, the real benefits come through the confidence they gain in themselves and their businesses. Welcome, Grace. I'm so happy to have you here.
Oh, thank you, Amanda. What a lovely introduction, and it's great to be here with you.
Oh, my goodness, you too. So let's just dive right in. Why don't you share a little bit about your story and how you popped your biz?
Sure. Well, popping your biz is certainly a great title for this summit, and a great question to start with, because it is something that I had no idea I was going to be able to pop. I hadn't even thought about being in back whilst I was in my day job as a school teacher. And like you earlier, I was literally teaching French to teenage boys in London, in the suburbs, in a school that really was not stylish and was not reflective of all the things that I love in life. And so during my time there, I really came to believe that there was something else that I could be doing. You know, it was just a constant feeling, Amanda, of being burnt out, of being exhausted, of being bored. And I'm a very creative person. You know me. I love all things that are new and different and cultured and stylish. And so I began to think about whether or not there was something else that I could do and could create for myself. But quite honestly, during that time, it was hard to conjure up any ideas because I was literally burning out. I was waking up in the morning and rushing off to the tube to get to work and constantly in a rush and always exhausted and weight was dropping off me and all of that. And so I was literally in the survival mode. And what I would do is I would get my paycheck and then I would end up having to spend the money I'd made on my health and on recovering my health. So I was going to doctors to see what was wrong with me. I was going to professional health carers, complementary medicine practitioners, just constantly in this survival mode of earning in order to recuperate my health. And so the wake-up call really came for me, Amanda, when I was en route to work one day and I took what I can only describe as an anxiety attack on the tube and in front of all those people. I just had to get off of that subway and the best I could do was go and sit on the steps in the subway station and watch everybody rush past me to get to work. And in that moment, I just made the decision that I wasn't going to live like that anymore, that I was going to find a way to do something else, and that I was going to get out of my day job once and for all and make the leap, regardless of knowing or not knowing what was going to come next. And so what that looked like for me, Amanda, was, as you know, I moved to Italy from London, and I spent the first year more or less in relaxed mode, trying to get myself back together and recuperated. And during that time, I would go to the beach and I would pray and meditate and think about, you know, what could I do? What else could I do? What am I good at? What's my message? And I really came into this space of, you know, once the relaxation was done, I came into this space of frustration. Like, okay, I want to work again. You know, it was time to get back out there, but I didn't want to work in a school and I certainly didn't want to be teaching languages anymore. But I really didn't know what my message was, like what I could offer and what I could do with people if it were going to take on this whole new concept. And so I spent a lot of time thinking and intellectualizing and all of that. But the crunch came for me when essentially I had been very dependent on my partner financially during that time, and it was causing strain in my relationship. In fact, there came a point whereby I find myself completely without my own money and without any ability to serve, living in a foreign country where I didn't speak the language. And so that really bolstered in me a deeper desire and a stronger reason to get moving quickly onto more purpose. You know, I didn't want to lose, I didn't want to be dependent on my partner financially for the next number of years because I'd left my job. And, you know, my well-being was back. I was back, you know, I was feeling good. I was back to normal and I was no longer burning out. So, of course, the next kind of set of problems came up, and that for me was, well, how am I going to pop this biz if I don't know what my message is? I knew I wanted to work for myself, but I didn't know what I could do or what I could offer. And so, you know, that's when the whole transformation for me began around looking at, you know, my own story, my own expertise, my own ability to serve, and my passions and my gifts and my interests. And really learning how to package that up is what helped me pop my biz. You know, to go from burnt out school teacher earning, you know, very little money just to recover on her health to you know, woman who was, you know, getting to really live on purpose finally, inspired and excited about her life and earning financially, thereby not dependent on her partner financially. You know, there was quite a transition in between, but the core piece for me was really getting that message and knowing what I could offer, and that started to pop the biz.
Mm-hmm. I love that. And that was based around your personal transformational story of being, you know, sick and burnout and anxiety and not doing what you love to creating this I mean, is that what the messaging really was? You know, just around, how did you find that messaging? You know, for people who are like, well, that's great, you found your messaging, but did you find it just from your own personal transformation?
Well, I mean, part of it was my personal transformation, Amanda, and you can't coach yourself into these things. I mean, you end up intellectualizing the whole time. So I did seek the support of someone who could help me with discovering my message and help me with really coming up with what I could offer. You know, that was a whole story on its own in terms of me learning to end my money drama, as you would say, because it was a risk I had to take. It was a risk to go and work with someone to find the money to do that. But I'm sure glad that I did, because essentially I got out of intellectualizing my story, my ideas, and what I could do, and I actually got into creating something really tangible. And, you know, I wasn't too far off the mark with what I wanted to do, but sometimes you just need that confirmation from someone further ahead.
Mm-hmm. It's so true. Exactly. Yeah, because you can't see it when you're in it as much.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. When you're mm-hmm. in the mess, you can't see the message.
No. So you got, one of your ways of popping was receiving coaching and supports from someone from the outside. Yeah, that's how major reason why I pop my biz too. So important for people. But then you go through those challenges like, how do I afford it? And I can't do it. I mean, I spent 3 or 4 years before I hired a coach, just doing everything by myself. Just like, hold on. So that's really cool. So tell us, what was your biggest breakthrough mm-hmm. in this whole thing?
You know, the biggest breakthrough for me really was getting to be on purpose and getting my well-being back. And so, you know, a lot of people are driven by different things in life, and I believe we all have values in different areas, and money is a driving force, right? But for me, like, the big breakthrough came when I realized that I could work in a new way, in a stylish way, and I could do it over and over again, and I could make as much money as I decided over and over again without burning out. Because mm-hmm. remember, Amanda, I had gone from this belief system that I was weak, that there was something wrong with me, that I couldn't work a normal job, that I was always getting sick, to this woman who was really totally inspired by what she was doing, so much so that she was able to work the hours that she wanted to, and she was able to earn what she wanted to without the burning out, without the self-sacrifice, as I describe it. Now, that's not to say that I chose to work, with all due respect to Americans. I didn't choose to work the American way, which I see as, you know, quite different to our European way, certainly different to the Italian style. You know, mm-hmm. I chose to birth and pop this business working 3.5 days a week, because I still had that fear, Amanda. You know, I still had that kind of like, well, I better be careful in case I don't. So I'll just tap into it maybe 3.5 days a week and see how it goes. Little did I know that actually that was more than enough time, because I was in alignment with my message and I was loving what I was doing. It was more than enough time to create momentum, and I was in choice. I could continue to work if I wanted to, or I didn't have to. And so the breakthrough for me was really learning that I could create a stylish life and business without self-sacrifice and without the need to burn out.
Oh, so true. Amen to that. I love that. And so what was, so for you, you know, you created this and you supported it around you, and I'm sure that's been really magnetic to your clients too, because you're doing it, you're completely in alignment with your desires and what you want and what suits you, and that's just so beautiful. So in this whole journey, what would you say was your biggest failure?
Great question. I think the biggest failure for me was, you know, at times it was getting lost in the noise. And so there's a lot of people out there that do similar things to us, right? And there's a lot of people out there that probably have a similar message. And so at times I find my failure was getting lost in what other people were doing and thinking that I had to somehow like meet that or get up to scratch with that or get to the next level. And I actually at one stage was about to, enter into a new program And I this program was going to really, it was going to cost a lot of money to start with, and it was going to be a big investment. And I almost entered into it, and I almost decided to do it. And even at that stage, I knew soul perspective and from my own spirit that it wasn't the next step for me, and it wasn't something that I was going to do. And so I had a hard time saying no. And so some of the failures for me have been around, you know, the boundary piece and being able to say no and actually remaining centered in the midst of the storm. To pull out an example, I think when you're traveling the world like we do, and you're working with clients and you're on different time zones, and, you know, sometimes you're on the merry-go-round of business, you can start to lose yourself. And so for me, coming back to myself and getting back into the business without self-sacrifice is what's most crucial. And it's what really helps me get the decisions and the downloads for what's next. And so to answer the question more fully, I guess like the failure that I saw was getting myself lost in what everyone else was doing and almost taking the step forward to keep going in that direction when I knew it wasn't my truth. Thankfully, if you want to call it spirit, higher self, whatever, intervened. And, I simply have had to learn, and I'm still learning and still a huge fan of getting balanced and centered and making time during our day for spiritual practice before we go making any decisions in terms of what we want to implement or what's next or what could be or what will be.
Mm-hmm. So what are some examples of some of your spiritual practices that you do? Because I definitely do that too, but maybe for our listeners, they're like, whoa, and it's always fun to hear what other people do. So what is it that
of
you
course.
Do?
Well, what I currently do is transcendental meditation, and I do that twice a day, 20 minutes in the morning, 20 minutes in the afternoon. And I also practice Kundalini yoga. Sometimes I don't always do the moves because, sometimes it's more appealing to get up and sort of just, go for the coffee and all of that. But I do try to do my spiritual practice first thing. So it'll be a mix between the TM meditation, the Kundalini yoga, a certain Kundalini 3-minute breath of fire that helps regenerate the system and literally boot your system first thing in the morning. And so I do that every morning because it helps me wake up and it helps me sort of just get energized for the day ahead. And I'll always like connect and sort of say, I'll use prayer and I'll say, okay, God, what message do you have for me today? And I'll be still and listen. And it's usually just a couple of words I hear. In the past couple of days, I've heard things like, keep connecting or stay in celebration or, just real simple things that by the end of the day, I can look back and say, that's why I got that message. And so I'm a huge fan of, the spiritual practice before we switch on any TV, any internet, any mobiles, like getting ourselves balanced, centered, and in alignment first thing in the morning as closely and as far as possible as you can is so important, even if it's only 5 minutes, even if it's just a quick breathing exercise before you go and attend whatever needs to be done.
Mm-hmm. So true. I'm the same way. You got it. If you don't go within, you go without.
Exactly. Yep.
Mm-hmm.
Love it.
Good. Well, that's excellent. Cool. So what would you say, motivates you or keeps you going and, keeps you invested in this business and, like you said, the merry-go-round of business? What keeps you going and keeps you motivated?
It's really a desire to, at times, a desire not to go back to where I was. So it's almost like the motivation is coming from two things. One, the void of, being stuck in any sort of boredom or being stuck at the same level or having to go back to a day job or having to experience, most importantly, that lack of well-being and that burnout that went on for so long. That really, to me, it's almost like, some people are going towards and some people are going away from. I guess I'm kind of motivated in terms of getting away from where I was. You know, it really is a regular thing, Amanda. You know, I still have to get myself motivated. I have two coaches at the moment that I use. My coaches help me stay motivated. They help me get motivated. They hold me accountable. They move me forward. And, you know, on top of that, then I'm doing everything and anything when I'm sensing any lack of inspiration or energy going down, from reading, you know, books that are going to support me. Can't wait to get my hands on yours, by the way. You know, books that are going to support me in terms of moving forward, or watching like YouTube videos of other successful people. And, you know, it's a bit of an effort, but we have to do it. And for me, you know, that end result of seeing the manifestation of peace and well-being and happiness and style in a client's life, it just makes it all worth it.
Mm-hmm. I love that. I watch YouTube videos a lot too. It's something that is like if I'm driving and you know, my kids are, I have kids. I know you don't have kids yet, or you don't have them, but I pop in a YouTube video while they're like screaming in the back. And I'll just like listen to the video. Me and Tony Robbins are in the front, or, you know, or at home, or when I'm in a bath, I'm like listening to Bob Proctor, and my husband comes in, he's like, are you kidding me? You're like watching a Bob Proctor video in the bath. Like, you're supposed to just be relaxing. And I'm like, oh yeah, I need this. I love Bob, you know? So that's great. There are so many wonderful resources. So cool. So like the self-care, and tell me more about in a stylish way. Like, what does that mean to you? Like, what do you mean by doing things in a stylish way?
Oh, thank you for bringing it up.
A stylish business.
Love it. Thank you for bringing it up, because it is an area that people can start to feel like maybe I'm talking about fashion here. And here's what it is for me, Amanda, and everybody's version of this will be different, but my version of a stylish life and business is really a life and business that is not just work dependent, or not just like momentum dependent, or not just let's say relationship dependent. It's really the whole thing. It's all seven areas of life integrated, from the great well-being to great wealth to great relationship to great family connections to great social status. It's everything interconnected. And so for me, a stylish life is one where you're not burning the midnight oil, and you're not like exhausting yourself trying to get something done. You're actually delegating, and you're actually making informed and decisions instead of impulsive decisions, because you have centered yourself first thing in the morning, or you have got the support on board whereby you're not having to do everything yourself. There's nothing stylish about a woman burning out, and there's nothing stylish about a woman being broke, as you know, and I'm sure you've written about. And there's nothing stylish about, you know, living somewhere you're not inspired, or doing something you're not inspired by. So, you know, my version of a stylish life and business is being able to, in that stylish way, do what you love, be on purpose with it, feel inspired with it, have clarity and confidence with it, and do it without sacrificing yourself. In other words, do it with help, do it with support, do it with whatever you need on board that's going to keep your well-being, your wealth, and your relationships intact.
Mm-hmm. I love that. Yep, stylish way. It's so true. I mean, we've all been there, and it's just like the non-stylish way, and rolling stylish is way better than not really stylish. So love that.
Totally.
Yeah. Thanks for breaking that down. And I love how like you've incorporated that into your branding, and that makes it like, you know, more intriguing and like, ooh, what does that mean, right? So it's good branding. So what would you say if you could go back and either in your own life or maybe how you work with your own clients, what would be those five steps, five steps or approximately five steps, and how you popped your biz, or how you would, you know, or you help a client pop their biz? Because, you know, people want to pop their biz here.
Sure.
We want to give them the goods.
Sure.
Give them the goods.
Totally. Okay, well, let's break it down then to five pieces. Okay, so if I have to break it down now, the first piece I would say to popping your biz is that you have to have a clear message. Like, you have to know what your message is and what you're offering through that message. When you're connected and in alignment with your message and you're really excited about offering that out into the world in terms of a service, then your clients are going to be magnetic towards you too. They're going to be excited about it too. So always set the foundations of the business house first with getting clear on your message and what you're offering, and make sure that it is, you know, it's totally you. It's not like what you think you should be doing or what somebody else is doing that's making them successful, or, let's not hide too much of ourselves. Let's be appropriate in what to share. But having that clear message and that clear offer will lead to your business, you know, being popped, attracting high-end clients, and then getting you into the likes of Forbes and other magazines or endorsements if that's what you're interested in. The second step certainly is, you know, this can be flexible. Some people are for this, some people are against it. At the beginning, I think it's important that you know who your ideal client or what we call your target market is. So just having some clarity on who you want to work with. You know, who is this woman or this man or these people, you know, and then what's driving them. And so it's important that you really not just know them intellectually, but you actually find them and you start interviewing them and you start asking them questions in terms of what their desires are, in terms of what they want. Because when you can be very clear on this person that you know you're ready to serve, it's almost like, again, you're drawing them towards you. And this then allows for step three of your business, you know, to be really easy. And my step three would be to pop your business, you need to have a stylish marketing strategy, right? Now, what I mean by a stylish marketing strategy is I don't mean you sitting behind your computer all day trying to figure out Facebook ads or trying to, you know, hopefully hit a few people on Facebook or Twitter or LinkedIn or whatever with some of your offers. I mean, really, like, getting clear on in what way do you want to communicate your message? In what way do you want to send it out into the world? And for me personally, I always started with a blog, Amanda. And I love writing. I love teaching and writing and speaking and coaching, of course. And so for me, you know, people said to me, oh, you'll never make it with a blog. You can't do it with a blog. No one's going to read a blog. And the truth is that, you know, that was my starting stylish marketing strategy. I just started with what I liked writing about and what I liked doing. And so I think if you can really find your stylish marketing strategy, your way of doing things that doesn't have you feel salesy or pushy or, you know, like, oh, my God, buy my stuff, like find something that makes you feel good. And my dog is agreeing with that. Find something that makes you feel good in terms of your marketing and allow yourself to just like bring that through. And so that would bring me really to the fourth step. And for me, this is kind of important. Obviously, to me, it's not to everyone, and it works for me and it works with my clients. Like getting clear on your branding and actually learning to live on brand is very important. And what I mean by that is developing a brand that really reflects all of who you are, what your message is, what your offer is, who you're aiming to be working with, and all of that. You know, the brand City Girl Confidence, it kind of does what it says on the tin, and you know, there's that whole element of it needing to really attract your readers. And just as a tip for anyone listening that is going to be working with women, you know, women are very visual, and women love aesthetics. So you can't afford not to have somewhat of a glossy brand. It doesn't matter what your brand necessarily is called, but to have that attraction factor, there needs to be that feminine yet strong and glossy approach. We see it now in our industry where more and more women are starting to you know, pay attention to how they're presenting themselves, pay attention to how they're coming across online, and certainly how they're presenting their brand. And so really discovering, okay, what is my brand, and what's it going to look like, and how can I create a web presence around it that is both reflective of who I am, but also attractive to who I'm wanting to work with.
Mm-hmm.
The fifth step to popping your biz really is, you know, to just bloody well pop it. Okay, here's what I see happening. I know you'll agree with
exactly.
This, Nana, but what I see happening, and I'm sure you do too, is like people, and you know, we're all culprits of this at times, but people get lost in, is it perfect enough? Is it ready? Is it clear enough? Is it strong enough? Is it big enough, right? And so the thing is, you know, and I'm going to use an analogy that I'm not familiar with, but you can correct me, Amanda, as a mom. Like, when that baby needs to come out, you don't have time, I imagine, to wait until you can just make it a little bit more perfect in how it comes out.
Totally.
And so I would imagine, like just use the same idea with your business. Like, if you can afford to sit around and wait for clients to come to you, and you can afford not to be making money, great. Take all the time in the world to get it as perfect as you want. But hear this. The more that you're stuck in perfection instead of popping, the less you're on purpose and contributing to somebody else's healing, somebody else's life, somebody else's wealth, somebody else's evolution. And so it's mm-hmm. actually kind of selfish when you think about it, not to be popping your biz. And
yep.
it's, you know, and to be stuck in that perfectionist tendency. So those would be my five, you know, steps in terms of popping your business straight up.
Mm-hmm.
Those are the elements that have supported me. They're the elements that I work with my own clients on. They've supported my own clients in getting their biz popped in a short space of time. And I really hope that they support the listeners today in moving forward.
Oh, I think they're really helpful. And so exactly how you do it, that's how you pop it. So let's just talk more about branding, because I think that mm-hmm. people definitely, and I heard one other thing too, like when you were talking at one of your, you know, the questions I asked you, like for you, like standing out in the crowd, or, you know, because they're above, standing above the noise, because there is, you know, there's a lot more. I started online back in 2008, so a long time ago, maybe 2007. And so now there's like everyone else, you know, there's a lot more noise, or there's a lot more people that are saying very similar things. And how,
mm-hmm.
and I love what you're sharing here about really be you, you know, don't be like, you know, be appropriately you, of course, and we're all appropriate, but, you know, be you. But, you know, how do you really, I think you got to zig when everyone else is zagging, and there's a lot of people kind of doing the same thing. So it's like really, for listeners to really pop your biz, like really be you. And also I think create, like really thinking, even though, yeah, that baby's coming out. But I do think that there's some strategy around really creating that brand. And like, because mm-hmm. these are things that I really didn't ever think about, you know, when I first started. So it's like, how do you really, really create it? How do you make this brand that people really buy into and love and adore? And yeah, what would you say would be some really, because I think you really have to do that thoughtfulness before you really pop your biz. So how do you help people like really with their branding?
Well,
you gave us like the visual and the attractive and for your ideal client, but maybe one mm-hmm. or two tips.
Sure. So, I mean, here's the thing. Part of the branding piece, and certainly it is what helps you stand out in that noisy crowd right now, like it's really relating back to your message and to your story, right? So if you want to set yourself apart from everybody else, it's not your business model that's going to do that. It's your story and your experience and the pieces of you that you're bringing forward that are going to be different to what somebody else is doing. And so part of you really maturing into a brand is knowing what parts of your story to share, what elements of you need to be reflected, what elements of you need to be brought in, what parts of you are you suppressing that would really be very powerful as an element to come through in your brand. And so I always start in terms of branding with a woman's story, because every woman has a story. And there'll always be another coach, another businesswoman, another group program or whatever, but there won't be another you, and no one can do it the way you can do it. So tip number one is, you know, discovering your, like what aspects of your story need to come forward and need to be made tangible through your brand. My second tip in terms of the branding is to know your signature style. And so I talk about this quite often over at City Girl Confidence. Your signature style is really, it's really a unique combination of two things. So let me share with you. Out of all the clients I've worked with, and myself included, and others that I've studied, there are usually two elements, a unique combination that is reflective of what they're offering and what they're doing. If I give you a tangible example, someone like, you know, someone like Mari Forleo, the big business coach who's out there and she runs B School, you know, she's combining creativity and business. Right? You'll see Mari bring her creative spirit into her business, whether it's through dance, through rap, through all of those elements, and she's bringing it into business. You know, if you look at someone a little more extreme, let's look at Marianne Williamson, great public speaker, great writer. Her illumination, her signature style that she's combining, it's spirituality, yes, but she's also begun to combine politics, right? She's very political. So her unique combination through what she does is spirituality and politics, and it works brilliantly. And so these women have strong, as examples, have powerful brands that don't need to fall into competition mode, that don't really get competition, that will never fall off the mark so long as they stick to their signature style. And so when you learn what are the things, like what is your unique combination, what is your signature style, what are the elements that have you set apart from everybody else, then you're kind of untouchable. It doesn't matter about the crowd. It doesn't matter about, you know, people doing the same business model as you, because number one, your story is attracting a different type of client to them, and number two, your signature style, the offerings that you have, which is why it's very important to get clear on your message from the beginning, but your signature style, it's not going to be like anybody else's. Mm-hmm. So
exactly.
The mistake we can make is to get stuck in just using one element. Like if Mari Forleo were just to use business and nothing else, she'd just be another business coach. If Marianne Williamson were just to use spirituality, well, you know, she'd just be another, you know, mind, body, spirit speaker. But
right.
You know, these women are combining this powerful duo, and it's very important if you want to create a strong brand, aside from having a great presence and a great, you know, reflection of who you are, it's important to be clear what is that duo, that combination, that signature style that is going to have me rise above the clouds.
Mm-hmm. I love it. So good. Okay, cool. And I know that that's so true, just creating, like really fully embodying who you are on all levels and bringing all of that to the table, you know, and like really taking that strong stance. So thank you so much for giving that great example. And I know you have an awesome gift, and your gift will be, so people can stay connected with you, your gift will be on our speaker page, but if you want to take a second to share your free gift, that would be great, Grace.
Sure. Yeah, I'm delighted to gift all of the listeners today an opportunity to access an audio that we've created called Create Your Stylish Six-Figure Business Without Self-Sacrifice. And obviously, I'm very passionate about you all creating a great business, but not at the expense of your well-being, not at the expense of yourself and your relationship. So I hope that in this audio, you will really take on board what I'm sharing and the steps that I'm asking and encouraging you to implement to ensure that you can really create that stylish life and business for yourself.
So juicy. Great. Well, thank you, Grace. And everyone, you'll be able to find that on the speaker page. And hopefully Grace will be joining us in our Facebook party and staying connected. And
totally.
Thank you so much for the juicy gems you shared with all of us today. And thank you, everyone, for
You're
listening.
Welcome.
Yeah, so good. I loved it. Okay, cool. Well, we're going to wrap up because it's the top of the hour here. But I'm so grateful for you, and thank you, thank you. And I look forward to hanging out with you guys in our Facebook group. Have a beautiful day. Namaste. Thank you, Grace. Bye.
Thank you. Bye.
Bye-bye.